Good morning. I want to welcome everyone here to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church this morning and thank you for coming out to worship God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I see that a lot of people are out probably worshiping at other churches and out visiting their moms, and that is great that they're doing that. Let's hope they're worshiping somewhere and enjoying the day. Before we get to the announcements, I just want to take a moment and recognize the mothers and females in the church. And if you can stand, if you can't, just raise your hand. But how many, do we have any great grandmothers?
I'm going to be one.
That'll count.
Okay.
That'll count. Would you great grandmothers just stand and remain standing? If you can. If you can't stand, you know, don't. Now you great-grandmothers, I mean grandmothers. All you mothers. Any foster mothers here?
Okay.
All the females, please stand. Let's give everyone a round of applause. We thank you for being here today, and we love your femininity and balancing out. I won't even say what you're balancing out. It's too crude to talk about in church. We thank you for being here, and God bless you for all that you've done to help the men in this world to be more balanced and to be better people, better children, better men. Today is the last day to order extra church directories. You can read about that if you'd like to order an extra one, $5 a piece. You can take your red pad and sign it with the name, address, that type of information. We'd like to have a record of your attendance. And if you want to fill out a prayer and praise request, you know that the elders bring those forth now and present those. This Thursday, the last luncheon of the season, barbecue chicken, garlic roasted potatoes, cornbread casserole, tossed salad, and those homemade pies and desserts are just out of this world. You can call for reservations for yourself or get a takeout, or you can make some pies, or you can come down and work the luncheon there. They can always use someone else to help. So we're thankful for that. It's a good money raiser for the church, and we really appreciate the men and the women who dedicate their time for that. And we have a special guest with us today. I told her I was going to do this, embarrassed her a little bit, but Betty Angelini with Camp Crestville. I just want her to stand and just tell us from right there just a little bit about Camp Crestville. Checks in the mail for that last part. And I know she's all excited about the things that are going on at Crestville. She taught at Presbyterian. The new rooms, they're bathrooms. Very exciting, very exciting. No more announcements, so... This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise this morning, number 60, Morning Has Broken. Amen. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear God, we praise you as Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of all life. We are grateful that you are our heavenly parent. Forgive us for not loving you with all our heart and soul. Forgive us when we are not willing to sacrifice for love's sake. Teach us how to show our love to our friends and family. Remind us that we need to love our neighbors as well. May we grow to be more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment and bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Once again, let us join together as the faithful here at Glenshaw Valley as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the wicked and dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you're not sure of someone's name, ask them. you, one child at a time. Responsive reading, God's Love, back of your hymnal, 653, 653, God's Love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us.
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love.
We love him because he first loved us.
At this time, I'd like to invite the elder on the door to bring the prayers forward and praise. And while they're coming, I forgot about this announcement. The deacon meeting next week, all deacons hopefully can attend. And May Madness Spring in the Cleaning, keep it going. And Deacon Spring Fellowship, June 9th, hot dogs and sides will be served, and invite some friends.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day. We have some prayer requests this morning. Prayers. Lynn Love is asking for prayers for Angel. Really, really, really bad timing. Angel's mother passed away yesterday, so special time for Angel. Please keep him in your prayers. Tom Balbach asking for prayer for back pain. We ask for prayers for Patrick Teggy to keep him safe as he's traveling through Cambodia. We also ask for prayers. Kathy Segi has asked for prayers for Margie Long, who is her aunt. Her condition is worsening. God bless her. She's fighting, but she continues to get weaker. So she asks for prayers for strength, faith, and comfort. I ask for prayers for my sister Lowry as she transitions from a working mother to a mother who is taking steps to go on permanent disability, and ask that proves to be better for her than what she's been going through recently. And we also have a praise request from Kathy. Praise for her mother, Cora Svedko, for all she does for me and my children. She is truly my guardian angel. With all of her pain, she keeps on going. She is my inspiration. Kathy, I think you said it for all of us, so thank you.
Thank you, Arlie. I would just like to add to this all the graduates, especially from my church, from college and high school. They move on to successful jobs or successful college and enjoy it. Had a call from Verna Milbert last night. Ron has fallen, going to have a CT scan. And Wade, Ron's son, and Verna is one of the main caretakers for him, has been put into Kane. And that's been a very difficult transition for him and for the family. And that's where Verna is today. So let's keep them in prayers also. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. In Presbyterian tradition, we'll be saying debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We understand through study of scriptures and as we look at your nature that you have a masculine and a feminine nature to you, because all people are created in your image. We thank you for that. Thank you that you understand all of your creation and that you love everything and everyone that you have created. We thank you for your love that never fails, that is unconditional towards us, that has come to us ultimately through Jesus and his sacrifice upon the cross at Calvary. His willingness to be the one who goes and the only one who could go to the cross and give his own life that we might have life and life eternal. And to rise from the dead and ascend into heaven and be seated at the right hand of power and become the high priest in heaven. So we bring these prayers to you today. The one that Arlie brought forward and presented, the names that I've mentioned, the ones that are listed in the bulletin this day and in the Valley newsletter, and all those who have personal requests for themselves and family and friends, we present them to you, knowing that they will be answered according to your will, not ours. Help us to understand that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all the mothers who have been kind and loving and patient, have endured so much at times with us, their children. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be your children. As much as we try your patience and go against your will, you keep reaching out in love, calling us to come closer to you, promising to never leave us, never forsake us, never to abandon us, but always calling us to repentance and a closer relationship with you. Thank you, Lord. Help us to love you in a greater way, and help us to love our family, our friends, and our neighbors. And thank you for the example Jesus has given to us. And thank you for his wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is Jesus Loves Me, an old children's song, an old favorite. Now the youth of the church are going to come forward, and I'm going to put the refrain on the screen. The whole congregation is going to sing the verses, but the youth are going to sing the refrain by themselves. So don't join in on the refrain. The youth will sing the refrain for us. So we'll sing the regular verses. The youth will sing the refrain.
And they only found out about this at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, they...
Thank you.
They are brave souls. Would you guys like a microphone? Let me cut mine off, because it'll squelch if I don't.
Thank you.
Let's bow for prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, as a church here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian, we thank you for your love, your grace, for the mothers that you have given to us that love us. But we know that they've not all been perfect as you are perfect. And we, as your children, none of us are perfect. And yet, you have given us and called us into a relationship with you to reach out to one another in love, with care, with compassion. Help us to do that as the church. Help us to use the gifts that you have given to us, whatever those gifts might be. And help us to recognize the gifts that come to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to tap in to that power. Whether it be the gift of singing, the gift of joy, the gift of writing a letter to someone that helps their spirit, the financial giving, the gift of serving on a team or a board or a council, the gift of bringing someone to church, the gift of having the love of outreach, whatever it might be. I ask that you help people recognize their gifts and bless them and give them the courage to use their gifts. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we do pray as our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen. Bill will come forward to read the scripture. While he's come, I just want to tell you real quick, I'd like to get information out. You might have noticed a week or so ago the grass got really high. We don't like that to happen, but the lawnmower blew up. Through a rod, it was 9 years old, so Jim Teggy and I, after talking with Session, have been out looking for our new one. We believe we found one with a larger cutting area that will still fit into the shed. So we're going to be out trying to get that maybe tomorrow, I think, yeah. And so if anybody's got extra money just laying around the house, you can give an extra donation above your tithes. We would love to have that. We struggle a little bit here lately with finances, so it'd be nice if you feel that you would like to do that. But then we got a little blessing the other day that someone gave us a gift. It's amazing how God works and gives us just at our sometimes in our darkest hour, whether in the church or in our personal lives.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Today's scripture takes place in the upper room after Jesus and the 12 disciples share their last meal together. In his sermon that followed the meal, Jesus predicted his betrayal and his death on the cross. But this sermon was to comfort the apostles. In it, he issues his last commandment to them, to be unified in love, for they would have to face a world that doesn't understand them and doesn't love them. He ends the sermon by praying for the apostles, and then he prays for all the disciples that will follow. Please listen to your personal message as I read John 15, 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. This is my command. Love each other. I believe God blesses the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. It's going to be a good day. I remember to put the scripture up. You were here last week, I forgot. In honor of Mother's Day and with no political agenda, with the recent opening of the new Bush Presidential Library, where all the living presidents, five of them, which is pretty amazing, gathered for the dedication, I want to tell you a true story about a mom and a president's son. In a recent story in the Washington Times, First Lady Laura Bush recalled a visit with her husband to the home of his parents, the former president and Mrs. Bush. According to Laura Bush, on the first visit, her husband, the most powerful man on earth, woke up at 6 a.m. his usual time and went downstairs to get a cup of coffee at the home. As he sat on the sofa, he put his feet up on the coffee table. All of a sudden, his mother yelled out, "Put your feet down!" George Sr. was sitting there. His father said, "For goodness sake, Barbara, he's the President of the United States of America." And Barbara said, "I don't care. I don't want his feet on my table." The president promptly did what he was told. And Mrs. Bush observed in this Washington Times article, "Even presidents of the United States have to listen to their mothers." Amen. It was almost Mother's Day. And maybe still hadn't found a card. She had a hard time finding the appropriate card. Some of you have been through this. And she never really had a close relationship with her mother. Mavis shared her dilemma with a friend at work, and a friend told her it was only natural to have mixed emotions with people, especially family that you're very close to, because we have such high expectations of our mothers that they're bound to let us down sometimes. Mavis merely snorted at that and said her mother let her down all the time. So whenever I'm having a problem, Jenna said to Fran, "I asked God to help." So that's what Mavis did. She said, "Help me find a card. Show me the card, the right card that I need." There were only about 30 Mother's Day cards left when she returned to the store. She picked up a card with great anticipation. Did not God lead her to just the right card? She read the gold print on the cover and it said, "To my daughter on Mother's Day." She said, "That's not right. I'm looking for a card for my mother, not for a daughter." But then she pictured her mother standing at a card rack trying to find a card to send to her. And she remembered all the birthday cards that the mother had picked out and sent to her that said, "To my wonderful daughter." Surely she wasn't as wonderful as those cards had suggested. And suddenly the thought dawned on Mavis. She had prayed that God would send her to find just the right card. Maybe God was saying something to her. And Mavis put that card back and went through the rack and found a blank card with a bouquet of flowers on the front. She opened it up, and inside she wrote a simple message from her heart. To my mother on Mother's Day, thank you for being you. With love from your imperfect daughter. Jesus told his followers, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. What better words could we read on Mother's Day than to have something about love? Jesus' words are the model for all of us, for mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers, as well as children and siblings and friends. Because God loves us, we ought to love one another. Because He forgives us, we forgive one another. At the center of the gospel is the self-giving love of God, but not something always easy for us to do. Notice from our text the link between love and happiness. Jesus says to his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be complete." Notice that love is essential to joy. If you don't have love in your life, you're ultimately not going to have joy in life. You'll have a superficial joy, maybe the things that you purchase might bring you in life, but it will not be real joy and real eternal happiness. In Charles Schulz Peanuts cartoon, Charlie Brown and Lucy are discussing the meaning of existence. He says, "Why do you think we're put here on earth, Charlie Brown?" Of course, Lucy asked that. And he says, "To make others happy." Lucy's not pleased with this answer, of course. She doesn't like that, so she says, "I don't think I'm making anyone very happy." "Of course, nobody's making me happy either." Lucy then becomes quite indignant and roars out, "Somebody's not doing his job." Ernest Hemingway desperately wanted to be happy, but he wanted to do it on his own terms. After reading Hemingway's first book of stories, D.L. Lawrence said that the moral could be characterized like this: avoid one thing only, getting connected to anyone. That's sad. Hemingway once fired a babysitter because she said the children were getting too close to the babysitter. Hemingway said that you could only love a person so much that then you had to stop or you would get hurt. C.S. Lewis pretty much had the same attitude until he met the love of his life, joy. Lewis said, later wrote, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries and avoid all entanglements. Lock it safe in the casket or the coffin of your own selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. Your heart will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell itself." In his own eloquent way, Lewis is saying to us that where there is no love, there is no happiness. Jesus says to his disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that your joy might be complete." But Christ had another point to make about love. Love requires sacrifice. He explained it like this: "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Princess Alice was the second daughter of Queen Victoria, and she had a 4-year-old son who she loved very, very much. When he contracted the disease known as black diphtheria, Alice was devastated. She was not a very healthy person herself, and she knew that the disease was deadly. The nurses continually warned her to stay away from her son, or she could contract this disease and she could die herself. One day, as Princess Alice stood in the far corner of her son's room, she heard her son whisper to the nurse, "Why doesn't my mother come kiss me anymore?" That was more than Alice could bear. More than a mother could bear. Tears streamed down her face. She ran over to her son, grabbed him and picked him up in her arms and began to kiss him all over. Tragically, this turned out to be the kiss of death. 2 weeks later, both mother and child passed away. All of you who are parents can understand why Princess Alice did what she did. When you love someone so much, no sacrifice is too great. Throughout history, the one driving force that has moved humanity has been the willingness of parents to make almost any sacrifice to ensure that their children would have a better life. But today, a dramatic change is taking place in our society. Recent studies show that a sizable portion of parents put their own happiness way, way ahead of their children. Mothers hooked on drugs who ignore their little ones completely. Fathers who go off in search of their own dreams, leaving their families behind to fend for themselves. Mothers and fathers throwing away their future along with their families' livelihood and everything that they own, sitting at the tables of casinos, gambling away their lives. No wonder so many families are in crises today. How can we, as followers of Christ, ignore the model that the gospel has provided for us, that God so loved the world that He gave, that He sacrificed for us? A society in which everyone is looking out for number one is a society that is in trouble. Remember, love is the very essence of our faith. In verse 17, it says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." Paul would later write, "Though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing." That pretty well sums up the matter. If we cannot love, our faith is really a sham. And how do we draw other people to Jesus Christ if we are not showing love? That is the main essence. That is what people will look for from us. Early one Saturday morning on the way to a downtown office, Deborah saw a crowd of onlookers surrounding a police officer, wounded on the street. As he watched the ambulance carry him away, someone told her what had happened. A street person had shot him. She was very upset by what had happened. She later found out that he had died, and she could not even look a street person in the eyes. She began to be filled with hate for everyone that was on the streets. As a Christian, Deborah recognized that she would have to somehow reconcile her anger, because she could not live with this kind of hate in her heart. She felt the best way to do it would be to work for and with the very people that she was angry at. That's not an easy thing to do. So the next week, she went with her church and she volunteered at a downtown soup kitchen. People who had no homes, no food, no money. And she says, "As I looked into the grateful eyes of the hungry recipients, my anger began to melt away. And I began to realize that each of these persons is a beloved child of God, just as I am. When she loved them unconditionally, as Jesus has loved us unconditionally, she was able to let go of her anger. You know, love is the very essence of Christian faith. And we're not able to love, then there's something very superficial about our faith. We spoke this morning about a young woman searching for a Mother's Day card who had a very imperfect mother. In doing so, she was reminded that she was also an imperfect daughter. Sometimes the most difficult people to forgive are those closest to us. I think our family is the hardest to forgive because they can hurt us the most. But there's Christ hanging on the cross. And who did he die for but imperfect people like you and like me? How tragic if we cannot forgive and accept those who love us, even as Christ has forgiven and accepted us. And I'm praying for my own self right now because I'm having a hard time forgiving someone right now in my own life. And no, they're not a member of this congregation. They're a member of my own family. But this is coming from a personal place for me. It's not really about you. Love and happiness are inseparable. Love requires sacrifice. Therefore, we must sacrifice in order to be happy. Love does not come easy in an imperfect world, but love is the central commandment that Christ gives to those who would be his disciples. May God bless you, and a happy, happy Mother's Day to all of you. God bless you. Amen. 534, she will be called blessed. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope that you did feel that it was a sanctuary, that you felt peace and love and happiness and a sense of joy. And I know that we all struggle at times with loving people, with forgiveness and unforgiveness, as I said that I'm struggling right now. But God asks us to do it. He really commands us to do it. So go out into the world. Pray. Do the best that you can to forgive. Realizing that many times in your life, you've had to be forgiven also. So offer your forgiveness as best you can and grow in that. Go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.